Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We're caring for all sorts of animals today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Garrett, and you're joining us for the second day of this month's animals lesson. We're learning all about a very interesting exotic animal care program at a college. Well, thankfully, I do have someone joining me to talk about this. Linda's back. Hello there.
Hi, Garrett. Hi, everyone. It is great to be back. And I really liked what we learned yesterday about this Moorpark College animal care training program.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Like I shared yesterday, Moorpark College is my local hometown community college. So before we jump into today's content, I feel like we should talk a bit more about kind of the school system in the U.S. For people not from there, they might not be familiar with a lot of the different schools we might go to, especially community colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So, Linda, what kind of person might go to a community college?
Okay, so after you graduate high school and if you want to continue your education, which most people do, but you might not want to go to a four-year university, or you might not be able to because of finances or just time. Maybe you have to immediately start working to pay bills or help family. And so one other option to an alternative to a four-year university is going to a community college, which usually requires 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get an associate's degree. And
right.
It's called a community college because it's usually local students attending it. And depending on the college, there's actually a variety of majors or studies that you can do.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a variety of purposes to go there, but that's going to be the main bulk of people going there is people that choose not to go to a four-year university. They choose to go to these community colleges. The studies might not be as rigorous, but you can do some courses there and then later, after 2 years, transfer into a university.
Yes.
And have some of your requirements done already.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good way to save money.
Yeah.
And also to figure out what exactly you want to study. Because a lot of students, like their freshman year, they have no idea what they want to study. And then, you know, they take these courses and it's in some ways, yeah, they kind of waste time because
sure.
they don't know exactly what they want to study. So if you go to a community college, do those 2 years, then you know exactly what you want to do when you get to university so that you can make it really count.
Yeah. So that is a lot of those people. There are some other interesting programs or opportunities at a community college that are serving a community.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, a lot of older people that are well past university will go to these colleges because they offer courses in things they want to learn.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to mention it. The other kind of student that goes to a community college is someone who has already maybe started their career, they're maybe retired, but they can be any age. And they want to take courses in practically anything,
yeah.
you know? It can be something very educational, something academic, or something in the arts, maybe learning pottery or learning art or photography. The community college is a place that they can do that.
Absolutely. I did think of one other thing, actually referring to Moorpark College. They also have a high school track, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason you don't want to finish your courses at your high school, they have the opportunity to finish your high school degree at the college. I have a cousin that did that. It worked well for her. So there are a lot of different options there. I will say there is a sitcom or humorous TV show in the U.S., kind of playing with how the interaction of these different people called Community. I think that one's a lot of fun.
I haven't seen the show. I've seen clips, and it does look really funny.
It's hilarious. And I haven't been to a community college as a student, so I don't know how realistic it is, you know.
You do get a variety of people. I did attend the community college in Miami. I took some courses there as a high school student because they'd had some program.
Okay, yeah.
High school students could take classes there. I think I also did, I think it was junior high, middle school. They had a special program.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then we took a field trip there when I was even younger, like in elementary school.
So fun.
Because we wanted, the best part, all the students look forward to was swimming in the pool.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Actually, I did go to one. I took 2 weeks of learning Korean, and then I dropped the class. Mm-hmm. I learned how to read the characters, but didn't actually learn any words or sentences. So not that useful.
But you had that option.
I did. Anyways, we are talking about Moore Park College, which is a community college in Southern California. We're going to talk about where it is today and learn even more about this exotic animal care program. Let's get into it. Let's go to our first reading.
From LA to Nebraska, Moore Park College is tucked into the folds of the Chaparral-dusted Simi Hills, about 45 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles. Walking among the zoo's exotic animals, it feels even farther, especially at the edge of the soaring 8,000-square-foot tiger enclosure. During a recent visit, Carnicella and another student, Trinity Sato, fed the two big cats who had lumbered up to the fence after catching a whiff of their meal, a mixture of beef and horse meat called Nebraska. Being here is a privilege, and I always want to just keep my skills sharp, especially around the tigers, since they are such huge and dangerous predators, said Sato, 26, who is from Torrance. It's an honor to be able to work with them and be entrusted with their care.
Thank you, Campbell, for reading our article for us today. We learn a bit more about Moore Park College and where it is. Linda, what does our article tell us?
Well, the college is tucked into the folds of the Chaparral-dusted Simi Hills.
The Simi Hills,
would be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, and this word, chaparral, it describes the ecosystem or the landscape there that is typical of Southwest U.S., like including California, Arizona, Nevada. I always thought it as desert-like, but it's not. It's dry, but it's covered with shrubs or short trees. Maybe they're small oak trees, and they can be densely populated on the landscape, but in some places, like, it might not be so densely populated.
Yeah, I mean, those oak trees aren't like tiny. They're full trees as well. And of course, in some of those states, there are full-on deserts. But Chaparral is a little bit different. It's still pretty dry. But like you said, there are a lot more plants. This is 45 miles northwest of downtown LA or Los Angeles. And we hear more about the zoo. Walking along or among the zoo's exotic animals, it feels even farther, especially at the edge of the soaring 8,000-square-foot tiger enclosure. Yesterday, we learned about their investment in the tigers.
Mm-hmm. And have this word soaring. Imagine it probably is high.
Yeah, normally we think of height with that word. So maybe there are high fences. I guess I would hope there are with tigers. I don't want them getting out. Well, during a recent visit, Carnicella, a student we heard about yesterday, and another student, Trinity Sato, fed the two big cats who had lumbered up to the fence after catching a whiff of their meal.
All right.
And we have some good words there.
Yeah. These two big cats she's talking about are the two Bengal tigers that we were introduced to yesterday, and they lumbered up. So when an animal or a person lumbers, they're moving slowly, like in a kind of awkward way, or it just looks that way.
Yeah, I think of like a giant from like a kind of fairy tale story. They're kind of walking slowly, but their footsteps are very heavy in a way. They're lumbered up to the fence, and they did that after catching a whiff.
Yeah, catching a scent. So a whiff is like a scent, and this is from the meal that they were going to have, which is a mixture of beef and horse meat. It's called Nebraska. So in the subheading of this part, we had from LA to Nebraska. Nebraska is in quotes because we're not actually talking about the state Nebraska.
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, we're talking about this meat mixture that is fed to the big cats.
Yeah, maybe in Nebraska they came up with this kind of mixture. We have a quote there, being here is a privilege, and I always want to just keep my skills sharp, especially around the tigers, since they are such huge and dangerous predators. It does sound like you can't let your guard down.
Exactly. I would think this would be a necessity to always be sharp when you're around these animals, because they are predators and they are dangerous, and there's no shortage of accidents with big cats because... Yeah, you just always have to be aware, very sharp when you're dealing with them.
For sure. Well, they say it's an honor to be able to work with them and be entrusted with their care. Friends, it's an honor to be entrusted with teaching you English and going through these articles with you. It's time for us to move on to our next reading.
Compassionate care. One of those big cats, Neil, is something of a celebrity. He was confiscated years ago after appearing in a widely seen YouTube clip with Logan Paul, the influencer and reality TV star. Unlike institutions such as the Los Angeles Zoo, Moore Park College's facility has not faced major criticism on ethical grounds, perhaps because of its academic focus. It hosts many animals that previously were injured, ostracized from their social groups, or illegally kept as pets, such as Neil.
Well, one of the big cats, again, we're using that term to describe the tigers. Tigers are a kind of cat, obviously very different from a house cat you might keep as a pet.
Right. And this term big cats specifically refers to lions, tigers, cheetahs, leopards, jaguars, this category of cats.
Yeah. So you see a lot of those at the zoo. One of the big cats at this zoo is named Neil. And Neil is something of a celebrity. Is that because he's been in movies, Linda?
It's because he's been seen on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay.
So he was widely seen in a clip with Logan Paul. And this is a celebrity who's known for being an influencer, reality TV star, wrestler, boxer. I only know his name because there was so much promotion about a fight that he and his brother were in against Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I think I don't know if his brother was in that.
Oh, okay.
I think it was him specifically. He's really gone into kind of the boxing world there. And they have both had a lot of antics, we could say. Mm-hmm. They've gotten into a lot of trouble while just trying to get a lot of views, especially on YouTube.
Yeah, it's to get attention. And so if you have this great big cat in your video, that would attract attention.
But yes,
it definitely also led to some trouble because the cat, Neil, was confiscated later on.
Yeah, and Confiscated here means taken away. Usually we use that word when we're talking about like the government or the police taking something illegal away from someone. Here it is this tiger that was confiscated. And we see, unlike institutions such as the Los Angeles Zoo, Moorpark College's facility has not faced major criticism on ethical grounds, perhaps because of its academic focus.
Yeah, and we referred to this yesterday. The college, mainly for educational purposes and conservation, and they probably are a lot more ethical in their treatment of the animals. But a lot of zoos, they do face criticism over their treatment of animals. They're just keeping animals in captivity in general.
Yeah, there are a lot of different opinions on that. Not sure what happened at the LA Zoo. We will be talking about that zoo tomorrow, friends. But right now, we're still at Moorpark College, which hosts many animals that previously were injured, ostracized from their social groups, or illegally kept as pets, such as Neil.
All right, we see this word. Ostracized. It means to be cast out, not accepted. So if you are ostracized from your social group, you are shunned. You are no longer accepted. And it's more pronounced in the animal world. Like, it's very obvious. And what comes to mind is incident in Japan.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of a few months ago.
Punch, yeah. monkey who has had lost his mother. He was motherless. And he was trying to get into the social circle with other monkeys and their mothers. And he just kept getting rejected. It was so sad.
It feels like high school drama almost, trying to get into like the cool friends group.
Yes.
Well, that does happen with animals. Sometimes they are ostracized, they're shunned, they're pushed away from social groups. And Moorpark College tries to help those animals, along with some others, like the famous tiger, Neil. Well, we have more to learn. Let's jump in now to our next reading.
Less pleasant aspects of the job. Students must do a training stint in each of four main categories: carnivore, herbivore, bird, and primate. So they may wind up working with animals they find unpleasant. A typical day: roll call at 6:30 a.m., clean the animals' enclosures and carry out other tasks. Classes begin at 9 a.m. and then continue after lunch until 4 p.m., when students begin closing the zoo for the day. On weekends, they don't have class, but they do have to operate the zoo. Second-year students, Sato and Carnicella, aren't sure what they'll do upon graduation, but both are interested in careers involving big cats. I really do want to work with large carnivores, tigers, lions, you know, the things that can kill me, Carnicella said with a laugh.
Less pleasant aspects of the job. That is our heading for this section. Of course, the job here, we're talking about working in zoos or with these animals, and presumably what these students do on the weekends at the zoo. Well, let's talk about what students have to do, what kinds of classes they take while they're in this program.
Yeah, and I just want to say every job has less pleasant aspects.
For sure,
yeah.
Definitely.
So in this case, they are a little bit different, but yeah, every job has things that you don't really love to do. So the students have to do a training stint or do a period of time doing something specific in each of these four categories. So working with carnivores, herbivores, birds, and primates.
Yeah, and we need to pay attention that they do a training stint in these. it's not just four different classes where they sit and hear a lecture from a teacher, but they actually have to do hands-on work with animals mm-hmm. in each of these categories. Let's talk about each of them briefly, starting with carnivores.
Yeah, so carnivores are meat-eating animals, and that includes the big cats.
Yeah. And
then we have herbivores, which are non-meat-eating. They're plant-eating animals.
Right. They just don't eat meat. They only eat plants. There's another term we don't have here for animals that eat both meats and plants, which humans are, and that's the term omnivore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what we are. The third category is birds, and the last one is primates.
And so birds and primates could be either carnivores or herbivores. I guess primates are probably all carnivores or omnivores. That term primate does refer to things like apes.
Monkeys, gorillas.
Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the characteristic about primates is that they have five fingers on each hand and they have opposable thumbs.
Yeah, so they can hold things, mm-hmm. they can use tools
yes.
potentially. And so these students need to learn how to work with all of these different types of animals. So they may wind up working with animals they find, unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just depends on the person. You know, one student might love working with carnivores and primates, but can't stand working with birds or
yeah.
herbivores.
Yeah. You might love animals and go into this program because you want to work with really cute animals,
mm-hmm.
But then you get stuck working with, like, snakes.
Yes, or a predator, yeah.
Yeah, and you might find that a bit unpleasant, but it's what you need to do if you want to learn. In this next paragraph, we talk about their average day, what they need to do at each hour, and it's pretty demanding, starting off with roll call at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, it starts early. They wake up. They have to clean the animals' enclosures, so where the animals live. And, you know, that sounds like a pretty dirty job. You know, you're cleaning up after animals.
Pretty unpleasant. they carry out other tasks. So they do some other things just to get ready for the day. And classes begin at 9 a.m. and then continue after lunch all the way until 4 p.m.
Yeah, that's a long day of classes. So they do get a lunch break, but it's from 9 to 4 that they're taking classes.
Yeah, I would say if you think about an average work day, if you work at a company, going from 6:30 to 4 p.m. isn't the craziest hours. But normally when you're a college student, you don't work that hard.
No, you sleep in a lot.
Yeah, you sleep in a lot, or you have a lot of long breaks during the day. Maybe you only have two or three classes, but you're spending a lot more time working on homework or papers. Mm-hmm. And so this is a lot more hands-on, a lot more time. At 4 p.m., students begin closing the zoo for the day, and they don't have to go to class on weekends.
Right, but they do have to work. They have their weekend job of operating the zoo.
Yeah, so they run the zoo, they work. And then second-year students Sato and Carnicella aren't sure what they'll do upon graduation, but both are interested in careers involving big cats. They want to keep working with those dangerous tigers.
Yeah, and they're getting great experience at this zoo because they have the opportunity to work with these big cats, like the two Bengal tigers at the zoo. And like I said, I'm not like a hands-on type of person with animals, but I love observing big cats. They're
yeah.
just so majestic and beautiful. And although they don't do that much during the day, you know, they usually are just lying around. And I'm thinking of when I went on a safari in Africa and got to see these big cats up close. Yeah, they're just so beautiful. I mean, they're lazy and they sit there. But when I got to see them actually hunting, like stalking their prey and then attacking, and then, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
as long as you're not the prey.
Exactly. Right. Yes. As long as we stay in the van, you're okay. Don't step out of the van.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Well, it is interesting thinking about for these students as they're getting closer to graduation, how they can use what they learned in a future job. My question would be, how many careers are there available in like working with big cats? It seems very similar to other things where people learn something as a passion, hoping it will be a career, things like being an artist or music, that really don't have that many stable opportunities for a career.
Right. This is very specialized if they're just working with big cats. I suppose one of the paths that they could take if they had that opportunity was to go the Hollywood animal training path.
Yeah.
Then they would probably have a very lucrative career training animals to be used.
How many movies have lions and tigers, though? There are some, for sure.
There are, but yeah, it's not like a whole bunch of movies have big cats in them. But when they do need an animal trainer for big cats, then
I think the good thing for these students is this is a really rare program. Not a lot of people graduate from it. And so there aren't as many competitors, or at least people who have the same kind of experience that they have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we finish off. Carnicella has one more quote here. I really do want to work with large carnivores, tigers, lions, you know, the things that can kill me, they say with a laugh.
Yeah, like how many people say that? They want to go into a career working with things that could possibly kill them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think part of me understands it. Growing up, I loved watching channels like Animal Planet.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun to see the animals. But whenever a show about like cute dogs came on, I would change the channel.
Oh, too safe.
It wasn't. It just wasn't interesting. Mm-hmm. I wanted all the things with like sharks and snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much more exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, that's a little different from having to work with them on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. But you know, like with this risk, like there are lots of rewards. So that's what probably Carnicella has in mind. And yeah, just having a love for these big animals, and you want to take care of them and make sure they're taken care of well.
Yeah, well, I wish these students the best of luck in their future careers, trying to pursue this thing that they love and have gotten really good training in. The next time I am home, I would hope to see this zoo.
Yeah, you should check it out since it's so close.
Yep, it sounds like fun. Well, friends, we're not done with this month's animals lesson quite yet. You'll have to join us again tomorrow as we travel not too far away, just over to Los Angeles to talk about another zoo there. But for now, that is all the time we have. My name is Garrett.
I'm Linda.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.